Welcome to this episode of Horrific History and Hauntings. I'm Beth.
And I'm Rami. We're your hosts, here to talk about the stories that history books ignore.
From horrific epidemics and ghostly hauntings to the catastrophes and tragic events that have sickened humanity.
What kind of events happened today, Beth?
March 15th, 2024 is the day we are recording, and March 15th, 1939, Hitler's army took over Czechoslovakia.
Well, that's not the greatest thing to happen today, I guess.
No.
Could have been, you know, a little bit better.
Yeah.
It's not like we have another European state invading another one at the moment, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can kind of count it as an Asian state since it covers two continents.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
Russia is invading Ukraine.
Oh, yeah, that's still going on?
Yeah, Beth.
I don't watch news. It's depressing.
Oh, dear.
I really did. I stopped watching the news in the morning because it's just, there's nothing ever good.
You know, that's fair. I wake up and look for
it. I'd rather be blissfully clueless.
Oblivious bliss.
Yes. Moving on to horrific hydro hellscapes.
Ah, part three.
Part three.
You know, I didn't know we had more than two parts.
Yeah, we will probably have a part four, maybe even a part five. I have a list of all these waters that I've found, and I'm just kind of having to go through, and if there's enough detail and one sounds good enough, then I'll put it in there. If not, I'll put a red mark through it to make sure I know that this isn't that good.
The tragic tale of the bedside glass, the forlorn pool in the backyard.
This one's about Dead Horse Bay.
That's a terrible name.
There's a reason for that name. It's located in New York, and it's described as resembling an apocalyptic landscape.
I take it there's a lot of corpses.
Around the 1870s, Dead Horse Bay got its name because it served as a dumping ground for dead horses and from the nearby horse rendering plants.
Ah, the kind of places it made glue and...
Yes, they turned the deceased horses into glue and fertilizer until about the 1930s.
Aiden, this one's for you.
What?
He loves horses.
Oh, I'm sorry. Me too. I don't like the way this turned out. Well, from what I understand, they got old and kind of just died on their own.
After they stopped
being productive. Not that that's much better, but...
Okay.
The New York Times had an article, and part of it said, quote, "The chopped up, boiled bones were then dumped into the water."
I don't know what you do with them if you don't just dispose of them kind of like this. It isn't like it's a person's bones, which New York's also done.
Yeah.
So,
you want to hear about that? Go back to
episode one or two.
I think it was one. Episode one.
Of the hydros, yeah. So, New York's done this before, but with people. Maybe not boiled.
Oh, no, they didn't. That's in our Zach and Addie one.
Yeah, that happened there.
Yeah. Clearly, there was a foul smell when they started doing this.
Yep.
Decomposing big corpses. I'm sure it didn't, wasn't roses and lilies.
You could plant some. That might help.
Cars began replacing horses, and only one plant remained by the 20s.
Oh, I forgot why there were so many horses around at the time. I'm like, well, that's a lot of horses. I forgot that's all you had.
Yeah. As a result, Dead Horse Bay's marsh started being used as a landfill.
Had to bury them with something, I guess.
By the 1930s, it was filled with trash and covered. But in the 1950s, the cover broke. This caused trash to spill onto the beach. And since then, garbage has been steadily leaking into the ocean from Dead Horse Bay.
Ancient garbage.
Yes, old. Antiques. Apparently, people go there. Well, I don't think they're allowed to now. I think it's off limits. But people went and found antique bottles, glass bottles.
Yeah, like asbestos and stuff rolling out of the mountainsides. It's all kinds of lead. Look at all this lead.
Well, before environmental laws, solid waste was often used to create new land. Maps show that the site was filled with solid waste up to 25 feet high between about 1948 and the mid-1950s. Buried in the soil near the surface are man-made radioluminescent articles. They're called deck markers. They contain radium, if you couldn't tell. These markers were historically used by the military to provide low-level light at night.
That's kind of cool, but dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It worked. At the time, they had it, and it worked.
Yeah. The shore is covered in various types of trash. As I mentioned, the glass bottles, leather shoe soles, various bits of rusted metal, bits of plastic, and of course the horse bones can still be found.
What are they going to do with this now? I mean, surely they tried to do something about it, right?
There was an article I found that was updated in 2020. The National Park Service closed the 84 acres of the dump, and then they discovered the radioactive contamination.
Did it close before or after that?
Before. Oh. Sorry, that came out wrong. But yes, before. Now it's permanently closed.
They're like, yes, we had some foresight, but nope, yeah. We found it and closed. We didn't care if you went through the ancient trash until now.
Hmm.
The lead is okay. The asbestos is okay. No telling what else is there. But when it comes to the radioactive stuff, we must act.
Yeah. This next one's kind of short. I couldn't find much about it, but I realized I don't think we've had a haunted lake or haunted body of water yet, have we?
Lighthouses mostly, I do believe.
In this series?
We did cover some lighthouses, yes.
Oh, okay. This one's Veterans Lake. It's located in Oklahoma, and it's said to be haunted by the spirit of a woman who drowned while trying to save her child. Years later, another tragedy struck when a girl drowned in a boating accident, and this caused some to believe that the lake is cursed.
Now, it just took two people dying in that lake to cause it to become cursed.
Yeah.
Then our lake must be hell.
Absolutely.
It literally...
Just that one year, multiple people
yes.
drowned. Or was found.
And in one year, it had plague.
Oh, well, it wasn't plague. It was staff.
Same thing.
But still, yes.
I'm sure if it tried hard enough, it looked like a boobo.
Oh. During the night, people claim to see the woman and her daughter appear in the lake, and some report seeing her gracefully gliding across the lake while pleading for help to rescue her child.
You're the one that can walk on water, lady. I don't know what to do.
The legend also says that if you venture into the lake after dark, you'll be dragged under and could drown. But I don't see how she's going to do that if she's floating on top of the lake.
I feel bad if this really happened.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some kid that's drowned in the lake, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
It only took the two to make it cursed. But there's been some sense that caused things to the curse, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you get large bodies of water and people want to be in them.
I like large bodies of water that I want to be in.
I like to go swimming. I don't go very often.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, like once a year, I'll get in the water. Yeah.
Mm.
And that's usually at some beach somewhere because my kind aunt wanted to invite me along.
Now we're talking about the Boiling River.
Now that sounds much better. What kind of chemical does this?
It's located in the central Peruvian Amazon.
There's no chemical?
Well, I don't know if it would be considered a chemical.
I just assumed some industrial incident.
Oh, no. No, that's not what happened for this, I don't think. It reaches about 16 feet deep in some places. The river is thought to have been mentioned in the legend of El Dorado, the city of gold. Andre Rizzo, who went to look at the river, I guess study it, recalled growing up listening to stories from his Peruvian father, and they revolved around the legends of El Dorado. The city was said to be covered in gold, which attracted Spanish explorers to the Peruvian Amazon. And I'm going to read a quote from him. It said, "Survivors returned with tales of Amazon warrior women, enormous snakes devouring men, and rivers boiling with water," was part of what was told in the stories that his father would tell him.
That's pretty cool. I can see the snakes.
Yeah.
I don't know where they got the women from.
I think that was just being rude.
Uh-huh.
Well, no, they said warrior women, so that's not really rude. Like, but I've never actually heard the story of El Dorado outside of the cartoon, so I don't really remember any of that. The legend said that the Boiling River is considered a site of immense spiritual power. It's believed to be inhabited by powerful jungle spirits. The Mother of Waters is the spirit of a giant serpent, and it's said to heat the river. That's its responsibility.
There must be a dragon.
The river's temperature also fluctuates. It begins as a cold stream, and then it heats up during the day and slightly cools during the night.
I don't think it'd make it boil.
Temperatures range from about 80 degrees Fahrenheit to about 201 degrees Fahrenheit.
It is going
to
boil. What? What's happening?
The entire river spans about 5.5 miles, but the lower 3.8 miles is where the water is hot. During the dry season, most of this flow is hot enough to be lethal. The small animals that accidentally fall in are boiled alive due to its extreme heat.
That's sad. Thermal venting or something? What's happening here?
The Boiling River is a natural phenomenon. It's a geothermal feature that flows at exceptionally high rates without being caused by a volcano. Huh. They don't really know, it seems.
Can you imagine being
the person
who
natural phenomenon,
stumbled
but it's
across
not a
that back in the day? Like, ow, I'm dead now. You literally are so happy to see a stream, you walk up to get some, like a drink, a little sip, and you're boiled.
Mm.
Now, I could see why there were stories
yeah.
spreading about it.
Yeah.
Somebody should put up a sign.
But I don't know what causes it, how it does it. They don't seem to. I say, how does it do it without a volcano?
I think you already covered it. The mother of waters, a giant serpent.
Okay. Giant serpent it is.
To me, it's just as good as the next story. I don't have a clue. If it ain't a volcano, I don't know.
Then we're going to talk about the Red Sea Blue Hole. There's multiple blue holes. So, obviously, this is the one located in the Red Sea.
I think I've seen these in that What on Earth series on Discovery.
Probably.
You use satellites to see things from space, and they're so wild, they figure out what they are.
Yeah.
They speculate. They probably know exactly what they are in real life, mm-hmm. but they had to speculate 1,000 different things before that part of the show.
Yeah. Obviously, it's not going to be a show if you say, yeah, this is what it is.
Yeah.
Cool story.
It's a good show. I like it. A lot of crossover with the other show, Mysteries of the Abandoned, I do believe it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Except this isn't that, because I don't think these are man-made.
Yes. This one is off the shore of, I'm sorry if I don't pronounce this correctly, Dahab, Egypt? Dahab? Dahab? It's an over 328 feet deep underwater sinkhole that formed during the Ice Age.
How did that start? Ice or something? I just assume everything in the Ice Age is falling.
Pretty powerful. It's
yeah, you got glaciers.
Not something you really think about being powerful, though, but it does quite a
I mean, look, it's sinking
things.
New Orleans right now because it's slowly disappearing.
Well, yeah, that too. It's an underwater cave that features a massive, colorful wall of coral by the calm, shallow water.
It's very beautiful, but deadly.
Yes. Also, a thing I would like to note is where I mentioned there was multiple blue holes. I'm sorry if I've mixed up some of this information. I tried to do my best to get just about this blue hole, but there was a few others that kept working their way into the things that I was reading. So
a lot of Ice Age incidents.
Yeah.
Unless other things caused these giant blue holes.
Well, the reason I mentioned that is because one said that it didn't have a colorful coral, but most of them did. So I'm going to assume that it did. The entrance is called the Saddle. It's only about 20 feet deep. Then it plunges straight down for about another 328 feet, which is deeper than what most divers can go safely. Inside the hole, there's a tunnel called the Arch. It can be found about halfway down at 181 feet deep, and it's like a giant underwater passage that stretches for about 85 feet.
This is a good way to die.
Yes.
But not good news is, if you can swim, it really isn't that threatening. You just kind of...
Even if you can
swim. I've dropped off. It's very alarming, but as long as you keep paddling, it isn't going to change anything. I don't think it sucks you in. It just kind of, it's just there. It's like jumping in the deep end immediately.
Its ceiling is 213 feet high, and it's incredibly dangerous.
But it's a hole. How are you going to get in there unless you swim down?
It's earned the name Diver's Cemetery.
Oh, people do it on purpose.
This is due to the many divers who have died while exploring it.
How do they get them out? They send down a better diver, or they just let them sit down there?
I think some of them are still sitting down there.
Well, if the fish are there, I doubt they're very intact. But
yeah.
I'm sorry for you all's loss. They surely knew the risk, I'm hoping.
While official records show at least 40 divers have died around the blue hole, the real number is more likely much higher. It's estimated close to 200 deaths.
It's dangerous because they get stuck down there, right?
Yeah.
Not because they, encounter a monster.
Well, I'm going to go more into it because it's a kind of a mixture of things. The divers who have lost their lives while exploring the underwater cave system are remembered by plaques placed near the entrance. Even though nobody knows for sure why the Red Sea Blue Hole is so dangerous, it might have something to do with its geological layout. It's difficult for divers to see the entrance to the arch, and if they miss the entrance, it keeps going down to the 328 feet depth, which they can get nitrogen narcosis from. It's also known as the martini effect because it makes them feel drunk and messes with their ability to make decisions while in this deep hole under the water on limited oxygen.
I wonder if there's a moment in between that happening. They're just like, uh-oh, I know what's happening. And then it's just like, click, I have...
Like you're about to have a panic attack and you know you're about to have a panic attack, but there's nothing you can do to stop it.
Yeah. And then it's just you're too technically, quotes, drunk to care.
Yeah. They can also misjudge how long the tunnel is, and using extra energy to swim against the current from the open ocean has led to divers running out of oxygen while trying to leave through the arch.
So they get in a lot easier than they get out.
And it seems like they kind of get lost.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
Yeah.
It's probably beautiful, but not a kind of place I would go.
Oh, no. I would be in a boat on top, but I'm not going in.
I'd just like to go to the Red Sea one day.
Yeah.
There's a lot of places I'd like to go. Not into a giant cave underwater. That's not one.
No, no, that's not one. I like my caves dry. Maybe just a little spring in it. Other than that, no, I want my caves to only have little drips.
Okay.
I'm sorry if I don't pronounce this correctly. Tarek Omar is a skilled diver. He started checking out the hole in 1992. In 1997, he started bringing up bodies. As he kept finding more bodies, people started calling him the bone collector. In April 2000, Yuri Lipsky, a Russian diver, was filming while he was attempting to explore the blue hole, and he ended up filming his own death.
Oh.
This footage can actually be found on YouTube.
I wonder how long that's going to stay up.
It's been there a while. You can't really see him. You can hear his gasping and see that
things are going
he
wrong.
Looks disoriented. But he wanted to go down there, and he asked one of the divers to train him. But the guy said, you need 2 weeks of training before I'll go down there with you. And I guess
that was just too much time for him.
Yeah, because I think he only had 3 days there. So he decided to go himself. And
oh, man, that means he had that terrible moment of, I have made a boo-boo.
Yes. Then, his mother, actually, they found the tape, and it shouldn't have worked at that depth. It shouldn't have worked where they found him anymore.
Oh, that's right. It was probably not digital, was it? It's 2000.
But it did. And his mother was present when Yuri played it.
My goodness.
Which I guess she would have eventually seen it anyway, but...
She was present when they played it, Yuri's tape.
Oh, no, sorry. Not Yuri.
The
bone collector guy. When he went to get him.
Amar.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
When...
Yeah, okay, I get you now.
Yeah. He's the one that played the tape while Yuri's mother was present.
She probably wanted him to.
Yeah. But also, like I mentioned before, he thought it wouldn't even work. It shouldn't have worked. This one is going to sound similar, but it's not. The Boiling Lake. It's located in the island of Dominica. The Boiling Lake is a geothermal marvel. It's heated by the Earth's internal heat magma, causing the waters to boil and bubble.
This one makes sense. It isn't done by a giant serpent.
Yes, and it's got a steamy mist that forms on top of the water.
Creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they need a ghost to hover across that and wisp the mist around, and it'd be even creepier.
Yeah. It's located within a collapsed volcanic crater.
I won't be getting near that.
It's accessible only by a challenging hike through rugged terrain, as well as areas with steam vents due to the volcanic activity.
Yeah, this is a place that tells you you shouldn't be there.
Yes. I tried to look up deaths, but I think the only one I found for this was due to a steam vent.
Is the volcano active?
I'm going to assume it is.
I'd guess so if it's so hot. So, yeah, this is a place you shouldn't go anyway. That's just asking for it. There'll be very few to no deaths there, and then there will just be a lot all at once. That's how that's going to go.
It has a diameter of roughly 200 feet, making it one of the world's largest hot springs. And I believe it mentioned that New Zealand's Frying Pan Lake was larger, though. I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
Because we did that one in, I think it was the first episode. Second?
I won't be able to keep track. I never thought we was coming back to him. I had no idea there was more.
Oh, yeah, there's more. The depth is a bit of a mystery due to its constant churning, but it's estimated a range from 195 to 200 feet deep.
That's not a mystery. That's 5 foot of air.
It fluctuates with the volcanic activity.
Oh, okay.
So that's why they don't know. The temperature in its normal state of activity, usually measured at the edge of the lake, is about 194 degrees Fahrenheit, usually. As I mentioned, sometimes it fluctuates.
Yeah.
And this is also due to the water level fluctuating.
It's just churning.
Yeah.
It's in the title.
The lake's water levels are maintained by bubbles of volcanic gases rising through the gaps in the rock underneath.
Ooh.
And when these gases are missing, the water stops being pushed up, causing the water level to drop. In 1901, a minor steam and gas explosion occurred at the nearly empty Boiling Lake. So it does go
boom.
Well, yes, that too. But it also drains. This released harmful gases, most likely mainly carbon dioxide. And this resulted in the death of two individuals who were near the edge of the water at the time.
They didn't catch nature's hint about staying away from this deadly place.
There was also an article I read. I didn't put it in my notes, but it was, I want to say, like New Zealand. It was a government site, I believe. They mentioned in the article how the temperature had gotten way lower and people started swimming in the lake.
Oh, no.
And they had to make it clear that people are not supposed to do that. You are pretty much making it a rule. Hey, don't swim in the lake. We don't know when it's going to
boil
again. Let's
but people,
you're pretty much putting yourself in a pot on an eye that you just don't know when it's going to turn on.
About to go all lobster on you.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I'd be trying that.
That just proves how little common sense.
I can understand the appeal if you already got up there and realize the water is approachable. You're like, oh, I swam in a volcano, but I would never get that close on purpose. Mm-hmm. I hear active volcano and I stay away.
Yeah.
I don't want to burn or be covered in ash.
No.
I don't want to go all Pompeii.
No. Sounds like a bad way.
Also, I don't want to drown in a cave in the ground underwater. So
I think I would rather the volcano than that.
I don't know. Apparently they were drunk out of their minds.
Well, yeah, not on purpose, but yeah. We're moving on to Hong Kong, where there's a bride's pool.
I can imagine the terrible things that happened there.
Yeah, there's not much about it. It's also got a beautiful waterfall.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
According to old folklore, a bride drowned in the creek. She was being carried in a sedan chair by four porters during a storm. I didn't know what a sedan chair was. So
you didn't?
No, I didn't.
Oh, man.
So I had to look into that because I'm like, were they carrying her in a car? Because it didn't say chair. It just said sedan in the thing I was reading. Why are they carrying a car? So, yes, I had to look into that. She was traveling to meet her groom. And as they passed the pool, one of the porters slipped. And the bride fell into the pool and perished. It's said that they were unable to retrieve her body or the carriage.
Why?
It was storming, and I guess maybe it was flooded. I don't know.
I mean, it's just a pool is a thing. You would expect her to eventually show up again.
Well, it's like a creeker. So, like I said, there's a waterfall.
She could just be pulled down and kind of churning down there, I guess.
Yeah.
And the sedan chair, poor thing. I don't know where it went to.
Who knows what she was dressed in? It was her wedding day. I don't know what kind of dress, wedding wear.
I don't even think about wedding dresses in America.
Yeah, we wouldn't make a very good fashion podcast.
No.
The locals call the road directly above the bride's pool the Deadly Curve because many fatal car accidents have occurred there.
There's one of those in Damascus and one of those also just down by the house here.
Yeah. People have reported seeing abandoned spirit tablets under the trees. I'm thinking like a rock or...
It has to be. Like Moses something. Or something.
Yeah, but I don't know. They've also claimed to have seen cremated remains in the pool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty place to drop them off. So they might have seen those.
Yeah. Urban legend advises against visiting Bride's Pool at night, as some believe evil spirits in the water are still searching for victims. We also don't know if it's true or legend, so.
It could just be a very pretty place that needed a good tragic story.
Yeah. Some claim to have seen a woman wearing red as she brushes her hair by the pool. It is believed that she is still getting ready for her wedding.
That's kind of sad.
Between 2018 and 2020 alone, there were 104 traffic accidents on Bride's Pool Road, and 100 of them resulted in casualties. And this also helps to lead people to believe it is cursed.
Or perhaps they need some rumble strips.
Yeah.
Before you get to turn.
A nice guardrail.
Surely they put something like that up, though.
I don't know. This next one's located in Virginia, in George Washington and Jefferson National Forest. It's called Brayley Pond.
We're next to a Jefferson Forest. Is it part of, or Washington National Forest? We know that forest a little bit.
Yeah.
I just don't remember the name being that long.
Me neither. It has the reputation of one of the most haunted places in Virginia, though I've never heard of it. Nope. And it is apparently nearby.
I've never heard of this place. The forest, yes. The pond, no.
Yes, I've heard of the forest, not the pond, though. There's been reports of people hearing children laughing and sightings of spirits hovering over the creek.
Is it a pond or a creek?
It looks like a pond that is fed by creeks.
I mean, the water has to come from somewhere. So.
Yeah.
Okay. The spirits just travel down the river.
Maybe they just like the creek part.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They like the moving water. It helps them hover along.
May 22nd, 2003, 19-year-old Christopher S. Kennedy was murdered at Brayley Pond by local gang members.
Beth?
Hmm?
Are you aware of our local forest-dwelling gangs?
No.
I didn't know about them either.
No. If there are some out there, I'm okay with not knowing.
Are there gang wars?
This is my hunting ground. my fishing spot.
The Washington Wranglers and the Jefferson Rascals. I want to look into this case just because I have no idea about any of these things.
Yeah. You should.
Why would a gang be in our forest?
Take notes when you do.
The gangs in forests in the warmer climates are for growing weed, mostly. What would they be doing in this part of Virginia?
Well, isn't there gangs in Chicago? It's not warm there.
The reason they go in national forests down south is to grow weed.
Oh, I don't know.
Why would they be in one other than to like a hide a body or something, I guess?
Oh, I guess that would be a great place. Not these particular people because his body was found.
Meth labs? Moonshine stills? I don't know why they'd be in this forest up here, and we're like a mild climate.
I don't know. But according to the court documents, two of the members lured Kennedy to the site and stabbed him 13 times in the chest and back. Sounds personal. I don't know if it was or not. I don't remember, but
it doesn't sound like just random violence, does it?
Then they dumped his body into the water, which was discovered by police partially submerged in the pond.
So it's near a road, I would take it, unless they go there a lot.
It's in the forest. That's all I know.
I've drove through roads in the middle of forests.
It may be nearby, but I've never been to Brayley Pond, and I'd never heard of Brayley Pond.
We say that. We have drove past it 1,000 times, probably.
Yeah. There's also rumors of at least one suicide that happened in the area as well. On July 2006, a paranormal investigation group went to the area to investigate. One of them said that something went home with her that night and was that she was haunted for weeks and months at a time. She also mentioned that it felt as if something or someone was touching her, and she said, quote, "It felt like slime, and I could feel it moving around on my skin."
What did 19-year-old Christopher S. Kennedy do to be so slimy?
I don't know. They heard children laughing as well, apparently, so maybe it was a child.
This sounds like a bit of a fancy.
Yeah.
I can see a child getting slimy.
But it said that it was supposed to be one of the most haunted places in Virginia, but those are about the only things I could find
I've heard so many other hauntings in Virginia. It's like every story's got to start with the most haunted place here or there.
Yeah.
This is the most haunted place south of the Mason-Dixie.
I think it's based on opinion.
Yeah, and they only ask locals.
Yeah.
That's how this works.
Yeah.
You look over here in the evening and you see 12 orbs at once.
And I roll my eyes.
I roll my eyes. Look at these orbs. There they go. There's some flying orbs. Woo! I'm not much for orbs. I do get great enjoyment out of making fun of them, though.
That's all we have for that one.
Oh, well, that was exciting.
Yeah. Not too long, but
I learned that the forest near us had extra names that I never knew about all this time.
And gangs that we did.
Gangs? I had no idea about the gangs. I'll have to look into this particular case.
Try to look up the gang part when you do, because I want to know more about that.
It was just a group of kids that hang out and they call them the gang in a small town.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't. That happens.
The kids that caused trouble and eventually murdered a 19-year-old boy.
Yeah. That happens. In a small town, they would be considered a gang. I like the hydro things. Less radiation in this one. There was only a little bit in the beginning with the horse cemetery.
Yeah. See, this one, I tried to put a couple of haunting ones in because I'm pretty sure we haven't had many, if any.
I was wanting to get back to the hauntings. We've covered so many true crimes lately, and I'm getting a little tired of true crimes, to be honest. They're fine, but they hardly ever involve things I can make fun of or laugh at because they're serious. And we do cover tragedies, of course.
What was your favorite one today? It was the horses, wasn't it?
No. I mean, it's kind of cool that they have a big pile of trash that's not just humans' corpses coming out of you. But I probably liked the story about the poor woman getting carried around in her 1998 Buick and falling into a pond that you tried to tell me.
Oh, it didn't say chair in the articles I was reading, so I had to look it up to see what it was.
Oh, okay. I like that one, just because it made us think of it. And this one here was pretty fun. The not the fact the kid got murdered, but the fact I learned a little bit about the local gangs. And
yeah. Oh, yeah.
What do you like the most?
Well, yes, I like learning about my local area that I had no idea anything about in that whole thing. But I probably like the Boiling Lake or the Boiling River. Probably the Boiling River. I like the whole Leads to El Dorado thing. It's
yeah,
a giant serpent. But also the Boiling Lake because it shows you how little common sense people have.
I think the big hole also covers that too.
Oh, well, yeah, that too. The big blue hole
in
the Red Sea. I have a little list of lessons also.
Don't do this.
Don't trust people to carry you to your wedding. They end up slipping and will drop you, and then you fall into a pool of water and you die.
Yeah.
Maybe just walk yourself. Don't swim in a lake called Boiling Lake, even if it isn't boiling at the time, because who knows when the temperature will rise again and you get boiled alive.
Even then, it's still an active volcano. Don't get near it anyway.
Yeah, that too. And lesson number three, don't throw animal carcasses near bodies of water. It's rude and probably not good for our environment. Maybe the horse corpses isn't that bad,
I think
but the trash
the trash
and
is the
radioactive
material. I think the horse
materials.
Corpses would have just maybe fed the local wildlife.
Yeah. But it's rude.
Yeah.
Stinks places up.
New York isn't a huge place. There's only so much they could do to keep it away from the city. There is rural areas in New York, but still, no matter where you put something, that's why we have trouble. We're having a landfill fight in our area right now, too.
Yeah, but I can understand it because driving around there sometimes in the hot weather, when the winds blow in the right direction, it really does stink.
I smelt it too, yeah.
And if I lived there, I would not be happy.
Three little simple things you should follow there. Yeah. Don't trust people.
Walk your damn self.
Don't get in boiling lakes and don't throw animal carcasses in bodies of water. Or mainly don't throw trash in the bodies of water. I should probably say that one.
Yeah.
Oh, we're number one again on Good Pods rankings for so many things, like number one and number five, different categories. Thank you all for supporting us.
Yeah, they updated their app and I was like, ooh, what's this?
We have some reviews also on Apple Podcasts now. Thank you for your reviews and things. We'll look through them and maybe read some out later, but this isn't the episode for that. If you like what you heard here, we have a lot of other episodes you can listen to. We are part of the Gruesome Gaming Group Network. It's a podcast network that has this podcast, Leveling Duo. It's a podcast where me and Beth or me and my friend Dakota talk about video games. It comes out kind of sporadically whenever a new game comes along we like. Then we have Brother Knows Quest. It's a podcast where I tell Beth here about tabletop role-playing games, a different one every week. It's not a review. It's more like an explanation about the game a little bit, something like that. It's not all of them I played. I just buy them, really like them, and want to talk about them. We stream occasionally if we get a chance to. Keep an eye on that. We have these episodes up on YouTube, not as videos, just audio, but if you want to listen to them that way, that's cool too. Or we're on every podcast app you can imagine. There'll be a link in the description that takes you to our link tree. It will be the first one on the list. We'll take you to our main website, which has all of our podcasts, everything there. You can subscribe or follow it. And the rest of the link tree at links will be socials and things you can follow us on, TikTok. Like I said, the YouTube or Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, Threads. Reach out, follow us, let us know what you think. Leave a review if you haven't happened to let you. Thank you for leaving reviews. I've noticed some people left reviews. We'll look over those and see if you'd like to, maybe if anybody's left a verbal one. I don't know. I haven't looked to see. We just now noticed they were there. I thought we would get an update about that, but we don't. We just have to find it ourselves.
Yeah, that would be nice if somebody would figure that out.
Yeah.
And fix that, because it makes it hard.
We have all these apps, but it don't tell us when our own podcasts get a review, so we have to dig it up ourselves.
And there's a lot of apps, so
yeah,
I take care of some, and he takes care of some, but it's still hard to see the reviews on each app.
Yeah, so that's why I say, if you have something to say to us, reach out. There'll be a, right below the Linktree link in the description, there will be a couple of emails. One will reach out to Beth, it'll be the Horrific History and Haunting ones. One will reach out to me about this podcast or any other podcast you might want to talk to me about. And it's called the Gruesome Gaming Email. You'll see them both there. There'll be a link that also lets you tip us if you like. Donate a little bit if you want to help us out. You don't have to, but it's there. They gave us the option to activate it, and we did. Again, if you don't want us to shout out to you if you do that, let us know in the option when you tip. But thank you again for listening. I have been Ramey.
And I'm Beth.
And this has been HH&H. Goodbye.